Let us pray.
Lord God, bless your servant as I share the message today. And may the words that comes out of my mouth be pleasing and glorifying to you. Amen and amen. Today we turn to one of the most thought-provoking parables of Jesus. Last week was also controversial. Yeah. This week is also something that we can think about. So it's about the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, 19 to 31. Jesus tells a story of two men whose lives are in both ends of the social ladder. One was clothed in purple and fine linen and feasting every day. The other was a poor man, Lazarus, laid at his gate, covered with sores and longing for crumbs. Their earthly situation are so far apart. One is so high and the other is so low. But when death came, everything was reversed. The rich man found himself in torment while Lazarus was carried to Abraham's side. This parable teaches us that eternity, not wealth, not reputation, not comfort, is the true measure of life. Not long ago, Charlie Kirk was asked how he would want to be remembered if he died. His answer was simple. The most important is courage for his faith. Now, we may not agree with every position he took, and we may not stand with him in all issues, but we can honor the fact that he was a husband to a loving wife, a father to two beautiful children, and a man who was willing to stand for what he believed. His life was tragically cut short, assassinated, not because of a crime, but simply because of a difference in opinion. That leads us to a sad and thought-provoking question that connects us to our theme today, living with eternity in mind. Who do you think stands in better position before God? The one who stood with courage for what he believed his faith required, or the one who chose to take a life in hatred and anger? Eternity changes how we see things. What we think is powerful now, or comfortable, or urgent in this life, won't last when we compare it to forever. That's why Jesus told this story. Not just about the rich man and the poor man, but about us too. Let me share a little bit, because as I reflect on it, truly it points directly to my life and our family's situation. Obviously, we came to this country to look for better opportunity. You may realize, part of our message is we seek comfort, we seek wealth, we seek to be able to feast, not probably every day, but at least on birthdays, on good occasions. But at least not every day we are in need, and that's our situation in our country. So that's basically the reason why we migrated to this country, because we see other people who come here, work here. When they go back to our country, oh, they have good houses, they have nice dresses, they have things that we cannot afford. So basically, this message points directly to us, to our family. Hopefully it may, relate also in any way to each one of us. Let us together paint the picture. Every day Lazarus lay at the rich man's gate. The gate was a symbol of separation. On one side was wealth and comfort, on the other, suffering and need. The rich man stepped over Lazarus every day, never seeing beyond that earthly gate, never realizing that there is another gate ahead, the gate of eternity. And once that gate closes, there was no going back. The same is true for us. Every day we stand at gates, choices, opportunities, decisions about how we live, how we love, how we use what God has given us. The question is, will we live only for the temporary gates of comfort and opinions, or will we live with eternity's gate in mind? As we reflect on this passage, let us ask God to give us the courage, the vision, and the faith to live not just for today, but with eternity in mind. Now that Jesus has set the stage with the rich man and Lazarus, let's see what this parable really teaches us about how to live with eternity in mind. Number one, earthly status does not determine eternal destiny. Luke 16:19-20, it says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus." So, purple clothing meant royalty. Fine linen meant comfort. And daily feasting meant status and power. But the rich man was so caught up in his own comfort that he couldn't see the need to show compassion. Lazarus, whose very name meant God helps, had nothing. As scholars believe, because of his poverty and physical condition, the only thing left is the hope and trust in God. Even though he is dirt poor, God knew his name and God knows what he is going through, which means earthly privileges can't buy eternal security. In Matthew 6:19, it says, "Store treasures in heaven, not on earth." So let's picture two funerals. One man's was big and expensive, casket, a fancy service, flowers everywhere. The other man's funeral was small, just a few people showed up. But in eternity, it flipped. The one who had all the honor on earth was missing God's presence, and the one who was overlooked here was welcomed and honored in heaven. Which leads us to the second lesson of the parable. If earthly status doesn't determine our eternity, what does? Number two, death reveals the great reversal. Luke 16:22, it says, "The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried." Notice the difference. Lazarus was carried by angels. The rich man was simply buried. Death equalizes all people, but in Christ's story, it also reveals God's justice. The beggar who once lay outside the rich man's gate now rests in the comfort of Abraham's side. The rich man who once had everything now begs for relief. God's kingdom reverses human standards. Human standards. Now let's make this clear. The Bible doesn't say Lazarus went to heaven because he was poor. Amen? Nor the rich man went to hell just because he was rich. Many scholars pointed out that the rich man ignored the suffering right at his doorstep. His wealth made him blind to compassion. Lazarus, on the other hand, had no comfort in this life, but placed his hope in God. Even though he has not physically experienced the answer or the comfort he was hoping for, he still gives his full hope and trust in God. His name even means God helps. So now, how do we prepare for this great reversal? And number three is, Scripture is sufficient to lead us to salvation. Luke 16, verse 29, it says, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. The rich man wanted a miracle, someone rising from the dead to warn his living family. But Abraham replied that God's word is enough. If we ignore Scripture, no miracle will convince us. The Bible is clear. Salvation, faith, and obedience must begin with hearing and believing God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and equips us for every good work. Today, many people will try to discredit the Bible, twisting it to fit their own desires and biases. But for me, this is the one thing I can fully trust when it comes to God and salvation. It is perfect for teaching and for building us up. Sometimes it stings. True? It stings when Scripture or the church point out our flaws. I've experienced that. And truly, it stings. But isn't that what church is meant to do? Marinate it first. Isn't that what the church is meant to do? To guide us, to strengthen us, and to help transform us into what God calls us to be. At the end of the day, everything around us may change. Means culture, behavior, norms, etc. But God's word stays the same. And so we need to know Him and live for Him. To end, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus teaches us this. Life is short, death is certain, and eternity is real. The question is not how much we gained on earth, but whether we trusted and obeyed God's word. The rich man had luxury, but no compassion. Status, but no salvation. Comfort, but no Christ. Lazarus had nothing in this world. He had God, and that was enough. Therefore, let us live our lives daily with eternity in mind. To God be the glory. Amen.